Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 193. We did our draft champions primer a few weeks ago. Loved it. Good feedback. Fun stuff. Tonight, we're doing our post 500 NFBC draft champions ADP from November as we did last year. We just spaced it out a bit here, but we'll get to that in just a second. First, you can follow me on Twitter at BDNtrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, as well as BubbaBloomPod@gmail.com. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How we doing, my friend?
You almost had it. You almost had it. You forgot what? Blue Sky. You forgot about that.
That's not happening. The whole Blue Sky social, whatever.
It's already a mouthful, but you got four out of the five places you can reach all of us.
Yeah, we got the key ones, I figure, at least out the gate.
Yeah. With the most important, I would say, being Patreon, but I digress. I'm doing well. This is another one where I don't know what day it is, but we'll figure it out as we go along. This is episode 193. We do appreciate the feedback that we got on that draft and hold primer episode that we did a couple of weeks ago. That was a lot of fun to do, but then also we just kind of heard from a bunch of you that it was helpful at least to kind of get those juices going. Probably got a couple extra draft signups in the NFBC for that one. So yeah, this one's a little bit more of an extension of that episode. The primer is really more like strategy, roster construction, trends, that sort of thing. And then we'll actually talk a little bit more about, we're pretty much all about players on this one. So hopefully the combination of the two works out. Got a bunch of good suggestions, players to cover in our Discord. So we will get to as many of those as we can, but yeah, man, it's going to be fun.
Yep, going to be fun. Before we get into the 2025 picks, let's take a look back at 2024, where there were some pretty successful situations here. And as Ryan pulls it up, I will go over my picks from last year. Now Giant, Max Stassi. That did not pan out as planned, obviously.
That was a masterful signing by your Giants to kind of slip that in beneath the Blake Snell news. So
yeah, got ahead of the Snell news with that one. Rowdy Tellez, who at post 500, I think was good. He kind of fell off at the end and then lost his job, but there was a window where he was pretty good. Xavier Edwards was a stud. That was a lot of fun. Elvis Andrews, not so much. Nixon's L seemed like it for like a week, and then he disappeared. Kyle Isbell, I figure for post 500, I'll take that all day long, honestly, what Kyle Isbell did. Joshua Palacios, not so much. Luis Medina got hurt. Alec Marsh was actually very serviceable for a like post 600 starting pitcher pick. And then my closer, Griffin Jacks, was awesome. He's like awesome. A top 300 pick right now in DC. So all in all, pretty happy with my post 500. But my friend, you did pretty well yourself.
Did okay. I your biggest hits definitely were Xavier Edwards and Jax. Like I didn't realize, and maybe that is already a takeaway for players we're going to talk about today, but I didn't realize how good, even though he only got 10 saves, but got 5 wins, almost 100 strikeouts, 2 ERA, 0.87 whip. Like that's a pretty under the radar elite season for a reliever going past the post 500. And I do want to, before I go to my list, I do want to kind of frame this under the context of, so yeah, there were some guys that you listed that were basically did nothing. That's common. I mean, that's the most likely outcome with anybody you're taking in the post 500. So just to recap, I covered this on the draft and hold primer episode, but I ran some numbers on the 2024 last season's draft champions. Basically you had on average about a 15% chance, or no, maybe like 10-12% chance of picking someone outside the top 450 that actually finishes in the top 300. So like 1 out of 10 guys, it's not very good. You have a basically 1 in 100 chance to land someone in the top 100. And then you've got maybe a 35-40% chance that these guys actually return what you paid for them, which again, at this point in draft and hold is a very low bar. So I would say if you had two strong hits and then I would say like three guys, maybe four that return value. I think you did quite good.
Yeah, I would take that all day long. So thank you for the compliments. But you had, you had a few as well. So some that felt like they should have been and they just disappeared. But
and some like in spurts, like it depends when you took it. Same with your guys. I mean, ultimately my catcher. So I'll go down the list. Ben Rice. That was in spurts. That was short lived, but very useful for the time that Ben Rice was called up. And did his thing before not doing his thing with the Yankees. First base was Garrett Cooper. I'm just always a Garrett Cooper fan. That did not work out. Andrew Monasterio also did not work out. Kyle Farmer, not really. Didn't do much. Played everywhere, but didn't do much anywhere. So that one didn't work out as well. But Justin Henry Molloy was useful for somewhat of a chunk of the 2024 season with the Tigers. He was my third base pick. Outfield, I went Hunter Goodman and Tyrone Taylor. Full disclosure, I did not know Hunter Goodman would be catcher eligible when I did this, but I'll take the the win anyway.
Yep.
Like you could have done if I took Ben Rice and Hunter Goodman, you've got almost half a season of really good catcher production between those two if you kind of combine them. So did Cade Cavalli, that did not work out. Ryan Yarbrough, I would say, depending when you used him, could have worked in a following role. And then to maybe one up your Griffin Jacks pick, my reliever.
It's close.
Jeff Hoffman. Jeff Hoffman was excellent out of the Phillies pen, got some saves, which you love to take outside the top 500.
Yeah, no, that Hoffman pick was another doozy. Like, we're going to get into our picks tonight, but when it comes to relief pitchers, we kind of talked off air, it doesn't feel kind of warm and fuzzy, I guess. But compared to last year, I got Jax, you got Farmer. I don't see that guy there just yet. Maybe, you know, obviously could be overlooking things. But it does feel a little bit different. I'm trying to pull it up right now while we're here. But yeah, Griffin Jax, according to relief pitchers on the Fangraphs Player Rater, finished 10th on the Player Rater. And Hoffman finished 23rd.
So. Wow, Griffin Jacks was 10th. I guess five wins and 10 saves. The wins
goes a long ways.
That's and 100 Ks. Yeah.
Yeah. ADP 307 now. Hoffman's ADP is 266, according to the player rate. I'm not looking up the actual data. So Hoffman has jumped him in ADP, even though technically one might have been slightly, like I say, slightly better. And Hoffman might be a starter. That's a whole other discussion for a whole other day. Griffin Jack might be a starter too.
Hell, Jack, actually both of those guys, that's interesting. Both of those guys have been rumored to be moving to the rotation this year. So
yeah, so that can make a whole nother discussion point down the line. But tonight we'll have some fun here and we'll go back and forth with our positions just like this. We'll fill the same type of roster out, see where things go. I will admit, I'm in at round 45 of a DC as we record this show. Ryan, by the time the show comes out, Ryan will be in round like 12. I might be in round like 15. And we're going to be having some fun there in another draft. But early thoughts for myself being in a draft, a lot more hitting options than I expected late compared to pitching. There are pitching, like it's just more prospect dart throws compared to in years past. It felt like there was at least like Alec Marsh's, Ryan Yarbrough's, or those kind of boring veterans. Not as many, let's put it that way, as there once was. Like Quintana's out there and some of those type of guys, but do you want to take the boring veteran or the aggressive youngster? Those are the million-dollar questions, and we kind of answered that in our primer, but those are the decisions you have to make, and by the looks of things, we're both kind of taking younger pitchers when we get to that later in the show.
I struggled with pitching as well, but there were at least some names, good number of names that I was at least like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Where I struggled to come up with names on this, and again, this is important because this will kind of guide where you go in the middle rounds. Dude, the infielders, especially shortstop, third base, I had a hell of a time trying to find anyone I was even remotely interested in, which tells me in my draft and holds, I want to get my third shortstop, my third baseman earlier than any other position.
So yeah,
I don't know. It's a takeaway from me.
Third base for sure. I'll give you like another peek behind the curtain. So again, I said we're around 45 in my draft. I have four third basemans now because I just wanted to be safe. But my third and fourth third baseman are like around 37 and around 41, and I don't love them. Let me put it that way. Like it's one of those I don't love. Now my third or fourth.
Who are they?
I took a stab on Yoan Moncada in around 38 or 37, seeing where he lands, see where things go. I'll take the gamble that late. And then I took Oswaldo Cabrera around 41. If there's an avenue to playing time for him, but it's bad. It's real bad. Like, Enrique Hernandez was a popular one going. Ramon Urias, Ezekiel Duran. Those are the other third basemen going late.
Yeah.
So it's bad. But like my shortstop, my last shortstop I took was round 31 with Trey Sweeney. So who I like a lot, but yeah, I have not been interested in any shortstops after that.
But again, that tells me to kind of wrap that up by early mid 30th round. And that's going to be one of my goals when I'm building at least my first team with draft and hold. And we'll see how it turns out. One other just quick thing. How much did you, with this list, and again, we'll get to the names in just a sec, how much did you weigh the prospect versus veteran sign? I know I have a mix.
I'm more veteran, or at least a couple years of service time, not just full prospects. I'll put it that way. Especially going back to what we talked about in the primer about guys that have at least had, 100 plate appearances or whatever, the jump the following year, you'll look at my side, there's a handful of those dudes that I could see taking that jump. And I like to gamble on that. I've kept that mindset ever since you mentioned those stats in these later rounds of the draft I'm in. I've kept that philosophy outside of a couple darts. Like one of the outfielders I'll mention here, I literally just drafted in my draft, and I'll give a reason why on that as well. But I'm not the biggest prospect guy. I definitely followed more your pattern that you discussed in the breakdown on the primer.
But it is tempting. I went more prospect than I thought I would, because obviously I did that research and it showed pretty clearly that going prospects this late, I mean, it even like the ceiling isn't as high as guys with MLB experience, even just a year or two, no matter how bad it might have been. But it is still so damn tempting to take prospects. Yep. It's, I don't know, maybe a little bit of a vice that I need to work through.
Yep. No, it's the toughness of the game. And as the draft goes on and you're kind of getting nervous because you look at the other options at that position and you know you want at least one or two more of that position. So it's like,
yep,
what am I going to do? And it's like, do I just take the risk now type situation? It's a real dilemma in the back end of 50s. There's a reason why guys like Steve Weimer and DiPietro and all those boys are very good at these DCs. They know that depth very, very, very well. So, all right, let's get at it. Let's have some fun here. I guess I'll start things off because I'm on the left side of this chart. But my catcher, and here's a prospect out the gate after I said I took it easy. But I am very, very interested in this prospect because the Braves did not bring back Travis d'Arnaud. I am not the biggest Sean Murphy fan. Drake Baldwin has been awesome at the minor league level. Baldwin currently has a November ADP of 549 right now. He should be the backup catcher or should be up sooner than later. Let's put it that way. Last year at double A, 4 homers and a steal. At triple A, 12 homers and a steal. Hit .298 at triple A over 72 games with a near 16% walk rate and a 16% K rate. Plate discipline is very good. He'll be 24 this year. They have him projected for 35 games, according to Steamer. I legit think he could have a much bigger impact than that, because right now, according to Roster Resource, the backup catcher is Chadwick Tromp. I think we all know that is not the answer. It just comes down to, they want a prospect sitting on the bench or getting regular at-bats at AAA. That's the billion-dollar question. But again, Murphy's been more of a 4-game-a-week guy. Baldwin could be a 3-game-a-week. There could be some DHs in play there. There's an avenue as the season goes on, and there's a lot of young catchers that meet this criteria, like one you'll talk about. There are a ton of these guys that could very well have a half-season impact, a very good impact. And I think Drake Baldwin is one of them. There's an avenue to this. We've seen it time and time again in Atlanta, even with Murphy there. I know injuries have been a factor, but we've seen 80 to 100 games from the backup catchers. And if Baldwin gets you 80 to 100 games, that's a phenomenal catcher 3-year catcher 4. So Drake Baldwin would be my catcher in this format.
The Sean Murphy hate continues. You're staying on brand.
Staying on brand. That's how we do things around here.
All right. I went prospect as well, going at a 505 ADP, so a little bit earlier than Baldwin, but I'm going Edgar Caro for the Chicago White Sox. I don't think with prospects, you have to judge the skills of the prospect, but more so what's the playing time path. And I don't really think there is much with the White Sox. Like Corey Lee had his moments in 2024, but ultimately ended up with a .210 batting average, a .244 OBP, 244 OBP in 400 plate appearances. I think we know who Corey Lee is. So I think Edgar Caro will at some point, probably in the first half, get a chance to see what he can do with the White Sox. And I don't think who the hell's their backup catcher? Chucky Robinson.
They don't have a backup catcher.
They basically, yes, we can forget about Chucky. Yeah. I think the playing time path is absolutely there for Edgar Caro. Our good friend, Patreon subscriber and Fantrax writer, has his own Substack. Martin Sikulski put out a really good article on his Substack about 2025 redraft prospects and has Caro in there. He's confident that Caro will be up in the first half as well. So I take that. And has some experience at AAA, right? Dominated AA last season as a 21-year-old, had 110 plate appearances at AAA. So he's getting those reps at the highest level. And the plate skills actually improved going from AA to AAA last year. Has some pop. I think Edgar Caro is like maybe the best catcher prospect for 2025. Just because I think the playing time is going to be there sooner rather than later. And I don't think we can say that for some of the other catching prospects out there.
No, I love the Caro call. I think it's a big one because, like, there's other catching prospects, Ballesteros, who's got a little bit of a log jam in his way, but still could be there.
And the Dodgers, I'm blanking on the Dodgers guy. Dalton Rushing. Yeah.
But they're trying to get him in the outfield, but there's still holes. There's still, like, there's yep. blockage to make it difficult, where Caro, barring the White Sox just playing the service time game, which they 100% could, there's no reason to hold him back. There's zero reason. There's nothing stopping him at the big league level. So I think it's a great call. At worst, you get a half season, but you might get much more. So I'm on board with you on that one as well. All right, heading to first base. This was tough. First base was not good when it comes to later rounds. So I went with a boring veteran, but a guy yes. that you can pretty much just pencil in. It's Justin Turner. And yes, Justin Turner is a free agent, ADP 580. There's already talks about him coming back to Seattle. That's the rumor on the streets. And like we joke about him every year, but the dude's played at least 130 games in the last each of the last five seasons. Heck, almost eight of nine. 11 home runs last year in 139 games. So the power has not been consistent, and Seattle will not help with that. But runs and RBI is not bad. Play discipline good. More importantly, batting average, 260 average. He'll play a little first base platoon potentially with Luke Raley if he goes back to Seattle, and he could slide into DH as well because Mitch Haniger, I'm sorry, like I honestly would rather have Justin Turner in there than Mitch Haniger these days if you just want guys to get on base, which Seattle needs. So it's kind of a long shot. Another position like I like to have more so wrapped up before we get too deep into this draft, but Justin Turner is my first baseman. And if this one hits when we recap this next year, I'm going to laugh so hard because this is one of the least confident picks I have on this, but I don't hate it type thing.
Yeah. I think it's one of your better picks.
Boring honestly. Is beautiful.
Yeah. Boring's beautiful. I mean, Justin Turner's the ultimate because I think he's between us in age. So I truly like Justin Turner for that fact because
he's 40.
Younger, yep. He's 40. Younger than you and older than me, which is just freaking perfect since I won't turn 40.
You can hang out with the boys
until next May. So we're good. I think the age is, yeah, the age is obviously an issue, but like Justin Turner, I think is going to play. And when he does play, at least batting average should be decent, has some power. So I like it. I went back. I don't even want to. He's technically a prospect, but did get a cup of coffee in the majors last year, 65 plate appearances, and did something with it. And that's Zach DiCenzo of the Houston Astros. I don't think there's a big, at least currently, this could change, of course, if the Astros sign a first baseman, but I don't think John Singleton is a major obstacle for DiCenzo to get regular reps at first base, where he played 14 games last year. And again, the minor league numbers for DiCenzo were pretty solid. The K rate was average. We talked about in our Steamer episode on Tuesday, the WRC plus is kind of a gauge for how good players can be in the minors, and it's average to that level. Zach DiCenzo at AAA last year, 149 WRC plus with a 13% barrel rate. The power's there. The plate skills are good. He can hit. And I think he gets a chance if Houston does not sign a first baseman, which they didn't last year. Well, You could count Jose Abreu. I don't know, but I think there's a decent chance Houston does not go at first base, and that door could be open for Zach DeCenzo.
Yeah, I like the DeCenzo call quite a bit, because even if he doesn't play first base, they don't bring a Bregman back. He could play third base. We know that as well.
Yes,
with him, they prefer him at first, and they have another third base option in the minors that we could have put on this list as well. But I still think they bring Bregman back. That's just my thoughts. But if they don't, DeCenzo can play first, third. I agree, he's better than Singleton. Why not run with this? See where it goes. So yeah, I think DeCenzo is a nice dart later on in drafts.
And real quick, I didn't throw it. He's a 633 ADP, DeCenzo. So it's not like this is a top 500. This is a 43rd round pick. So it's even deeper in the player pool, which gives you a little lower bar to clear.
And I will throw this out there. I'll throw it in the Discord. We've threw one of his articles out before, but our buddy Armchair Roto, Russ, he just threw out another article about looking at potential prospects, and he uses WRC plus a AAA over 100 and the success rate last year and guys that could do it this year. Ryan just mentioned DeCenzo's WRC plus. So there's a nice little avenue to look for later round talent, potentially, if you don't have a big track record in the bigs. All right. My second baseman, and I actually like this one quite a bit, so it'll probably backfire tremendously, is Thomas Sagesi. We talked about him quite a bit last year when he got called up. We did so much research to pronounce his name correctly, for one. And it was a small cup of coffee. It wasn't ideal. 18 games, one homer, hit .204. You know, a little this, a little that. But in AAA, 20 homers, 9 steals, a .253 average, and 125 games. Liked that quite a bit. Went to the Arizona Fall League, played well also. And right now, the rumors on the street in St. Louis is the Cardinals are planning on putting Sagesi as the opening day second baseman and moving Brendan Donovan to either third base or the outfield because of the Arenado potential move. So the reason I'm speculating on this now is a full-time Thomas Sagesi, because his defense is better than them. So, and they have Wynn at shortstop. It's a great 1-2 punch up the middle defensively. If Sagesi is the everyday starting second baseman and you're getting him right now at an ADP of 565, to get a starter that late is tremendous, just period. No matter, like, you want him to produce, but just right out the gate, if I have a chance to get a starter this late, he's on the top of my list. And to know that the skill set is there, he's 23. We've seen it throughout the minors. Like, he could maybe get you 10 steals. He's got 15 to 20 home run pop, and he hit for a lot better average of the lower minors. So maybe he's just a little adjustment period like you'd expect. Maybe we see a little more there. At worst, he should be able to get on base and be productive. Bottom of the order, probably, so not as many runs. But a guy that should play every day, 565 ADP. I like some Thomas Sagesi.
Over a full 600 plate appearances, HQ has Sagesi hitting like 16, 17 home runs, almost 10 steals. So that would, if he can stick, that would work. And there's a potential for, like, I mean, you talk about DeCenzo playing everywhere. Sagesi played second, third, and short. So even if there is somewhat of a log jam in St. Louis, he can move around a little bit, which in season might even pick up some extra position eligibility, which could be nice.
Yep, I'm with you on that one. Your next one's fun.
My man.
I didn't expect you to put this on the list. Kidding.
I will never quit, Ahmed. I will never quit you. Ahmed Rosario is my pick. Still just entering his age 29 season. Like, I feel like Ahmed Rosario is an old man, but he's not. Has hit .280 or above in 3 of the last 4 seasons. Consistent mid stolen base production over the last 4 years, and that's really in part-time duty. Ahmed Rosario did not have full-time duty last season. Played on 3 teams. I can't even, what was it, Cleveland, LA, and Reds,
right?
Oh yeah, no, he was on the Reds. Yeah, that's right. 3 teams last year.
He started on the Rays. He went Rays, Dodgers, right?
Yeah, it was Rays, Dodgers. It was Rays, Dodgers, Reds.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
So, like, I mean, you get traded 3 times, or traded twice, or whatever. You're on 3 different teams, 3 different cities. You don't get regular playing time on any of those 3 teams. How are you expected to perform? And so, yes, Ahmed Rosario had a down season. Yes, this hinges on Ahmed Rosario signing somewhere where he can play at least most of the time, which, again, from 2021 to 23, this guy had 550 plus plate appearances in all 3 of those seasons. Qualifies at outfield as well, so he's not just a second base pick, which you gotta love. And again, all he needs is playing time, and you're gonna get 10 home runs, 15, 20 steals with a good batting average at multiple positions. I think that is awesome.
Yep. 100% with you on that one. It's just the playing time with him. He's proven he can get the job done. Just curious where he lands this go around. I have more confidence in him getting playing time than my shortstop, but this is where I told you my last shortstop was round 31 in my draft. Cause it is brutal. Dude,
it's bad.
No, it's real bad. So we're taking a shot here, a big shot in the dark, but hear me out before you all just rag me, because I understand I deserve probably ragging. But again, if you got to look at the player pool, you got to take a shot. I'm going Scott Kingery. That's Scott Kingery. The one that doesn't have any stats since 2022 on Fangraphs. Scott Kingery. ADP is 671. So that's the first one for me. One of your last picks. Like, go take a shot late. See what happens. Scott Kingery, formerly the guy that hit 19 home runs and stole 15 bases in 2019. And then just everything between injuries and whatnot fell off the map. He hit 258 that year. So I think his last full healthy season played really well for Philadelphia. Okay. Long time ago. I get it, Bubba. You're crazy. Probably right. If you go deeper, he's been in the minors, and this is where I got intrigued. 2023 with the Phillies, AAA, 13 homers, 24 steals, 244. 2024 in AAA with the Phillies, 25 homers, 25 steals, 268 batting average. Back-to-back very productive seasons. And if we look at that WRC plus number, 104 at AAA last year. I know the hitting environment in AAA is a lot better. Totally, understandably, got you. And yes, Zach Neto is the shortstop of the Angels. Get that as well. Scott Kingery can play the outfield. He can play second base. He can play all the infield, I'd imagine, at this point in time. So there are avenues, if the production's there, to playing time with Scott Kingery. The Angels just gave Scott Kingery a 1 or 2 year deal. They just actually like a legit, not minor league deal. It was a 1 year, $770,000, not expensive, but it's not a minor league deal is my point. It's a major league contract. So there's a great chance he's on the opening day roster and might be the bench, but there is an avenue where Scott Kingery, once an injury takes place, gets some playing time. And if the guy we saw at AAA the last 2 years can be a part of that. He's only 30. It's like old in baseball terms, I guess, but not as old as we might think because he's played forever. There's an avenue to Scott Kingery finding some sort of you know, production at an ADP of 671. So that's my long-winded way of justifying an insane pick.
I mean, but all these picks are insane because this is why it's so late. Like, if it doesn't work out, whatever, it's fine. The Angels have shown the willingness to play just bizarro, post-type
former roster. First round picks.
Yeah. Like Mickey Moniak. You've got, I mean, they gave Joe Adell. Adell's a little younger, but that applies. Willie Calhoun, they gave a ton of playing time to last season. Like, this is the ultimate landing spot team for someone who you want to take a shot at late in draft and hold, because they have shown the willingness to play these guys. So I think this is one of your better picks.
Wow.
Well, wow. I guess what we won't throw on here is our confidence level for each one of these when we review this next year.
Like I said, at an ADP bad. Of 671, yeah, I'm actually pretty pumped on it. I'm excited in that regard. But yeah,
that's a 45th. Like, this is one of your last picks. I get it. It's 80-90% chance it doesn't work out. He does nothing, but whatever. 45th round.
Yeah, if he just gives you like 2 to 3 weeks the entire season of production that you played him, you're happy as can be right now.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm hoping for with my shortstop. It's Romy Gonzalez, who last season with Boston, just 200 plate appearances. Like, I think he is a utility guy. But again, what you're hoping for is, sounds bad, you're hoping for some kind of injury. And Romy Gonzalez, since he can play everywhere in the infield, if there's a 2 week, 3 week IL stint, you get Romy Gonzalez in there, you can use him while you can in the middle of the season when the rest of your team is hurt. So Romy Gonzalez, 216 plate appearances last season with Boston, 11 steals and 6 homers. He hit 266. Like, and the skills really aren't that bad. So qualifies at first, second, and short. I agree. This is someone on opening day you better not have in your lineup. But I think at some point there will be a stretch where Romy Gonzalez is filling in for perhaps an injured Rafael Devers when his shoulders completely fall off of his body midseason in 2025 and Romy Gonzalez steps in. So I think you could do worse. You'll look at the season-long projection for Romy Gonzalez. It won't look good because the playing time is not there and it won't be there. But I think as someone you could kind of fill in spurts, I think he qualifies everywhere and can pretty much do everything modestly. Homer, steals, and hit for some batting average.
Oh, I like the Romy pick. I almost took Romy instead of Kingery. It's a guy that when he formerly of the White Sox, if he was there right now, he'd be a kind of mascot type pick because he'd play every day for them and play all over the diamond. He is that talented. Like you said, he's just, you know, like the uber talent, he's serviceable talent. And he's a guy that's going to stick around for another 5 to 10 years because he'll be able to, like, he'll be another Kevin Newman type, just kind of hangs around, does his thing. And there will be value to that in a DC. Right. And the Red Sox, again, not the spitting image of health around that team. So I like that pick, especially at his ADP. You can definitely gain a little upside throughout your season. And with the flexibility, we know how valuable that is as well. All right, another bad position, third base. And if you guys listened to our show like a week or so ago, we talked about news and notes. I mentioned Oswaldo Cabrera potentially playing third base for the Yankees. Yes, Jazz Chisholm's slotted in at third base, but as much as there's times I don't agree with roster resource, this one kind of makes sense. With Gleyber Torres out of town, you could put Jazz back to second. You have Oswaldo at third. That actually works for now. I believe the Yankees make a move. If they don't, or again, barring injuries, an ADP of 651 for Oswaldo Cabrera, a guy that hit 8 homers and 4 steals this last year, had 5 homers and 8 steals the year before, hit 247 this past year. Right now, Steamer's got him for 105 games, 12 homers, 7 steals, 243. Like, honestly, at 651, sign me up for that right now. I'll take that as we speak. This is a guy we've seen talent when given a lengthy opportunity. He's 25 years old. He's actually very cheap. The Yankees had high hopes for him at one time. It was Oswaldo Cabrera, Oswald Peraza, both like who's coming. Neither one is really
paid same up. Person. Yeah. Still convinced of the same person.
They might be. Spider-Man gif. But Cabrera's at least had a better run, and there's a window where he can actually find some playing time right now, it looks like. Could be a long shot. Who knows? But at 651, I'll take the chance at third base on Oswaldo Cabrera.
Yeah, there is an off chance, and maybe we're dating ourselves by pre-recording this, but like if the Yankees re-sign Soto or something or go splash elsewhere, there's a chance Oswaldo Cabrera does kind of make it through the offseason and ends up on the opening day lineup. I don't think it's likely. I agree. I think the Yankees do something, but even if they do, we saw last year in spurts, like you said, Oswaldo Cabrera was productive. And again, that's one of the things that you're just looking for is those production spurts.
Yep. Speak of production spurts. Right. Here you go. This is fun one.
No, dude, again, third base, man. This was awful. And I hope I don't have to pick this guy. I hope I have sewn up third base by now. I'm going Brett Baty. I don't feel great about it. He is obviously behind Mark Vientos at third base with the Mets. I don't even think there's that good of a chance that they slide Baty over to first base to give him playing time because Brett Baty has pretty much done nothing in the majors in his career. A lot of injuries, but just the sheer fact that he's one injury away or maybe half an injury away from getting regular playing time. He's still just 25 and was a premier prospect. Again, has not done anything in the major leagues, but that's why I'm picking Baty. I'm gambling that at some point the promise that the prospect folks saw in Brett Baty will show through and maybe he gets a run of good luck in terms of playing time. But yeah, this one's a stretch. This one's a stretch. What his AD? I don't think Baty is.
Yeah.
No, he's 507, so he's actually one of the more expensive third basemen. Again, I hope you don't have to make this pick and get your third baseman before you do this.
Yes, I am with you on that one, but I also understand the argument at the same time. All right, let's head to the outfield here. Got two outfielders each, and I guess you can say the homer in me is coming out, but I'll go with Luis Matos, the 22-year-old Luis Matos, who everyone spent money on at one point last year because he drove in like 13 in 1 week and people thought that was sustainable, I guess. I don't know. Then he came back to earth because he had a lot of swing and miss, but still only struck out 15% of the time at the big league level, which is pretty darn good. It doesn't walk a lot. The contact was a little suspect is the nicest way. I'll say it, 3.9% barrel, 37% hard hit. The X stats actually liked him a lot more. It's 213 average, 243 XBA. So they thought he should have been better, and there's other reasons I like him. At AAA, 14 homers, 8 steals, 256 in 80 games. He's been productive throughout the minors. He's crushing it in the Dominican or the Winter League. I think he's in Dominican for the Winter League. And I know that's not the same pitching level. It's like the AFL, maybe worse. I get that. But just seeing him get the reps is what I want to see right now from a 22-year-old. So he's had a cup of coffee between 23. He had played 76 games in 2023, where he had 250 with two homers and three steals. Played 45 games last year with the Giants. You have Elliot Ramos. You have Grant McCray. You have Yaz, and you have Lee. Between Yaz and McCray, Matos could easily platoon with them. And there's already a ton of discussion on the Giants wanting to trade Yaz, which would open the door right away for Matos. There is a point in this year, as a Giants fan, at least I hope to God as a Giants fan, Matos is the everyday outfielder for at least half the season. Like, let's see what these kids have. And that's why I'd be interested in drafting Matos. I think so young, talent is there. Let it keep developing. There is a ceiling to this guy we have not seen yet, and I'll take that chance with Luis Matos.
I think a lot of people who fabbed Luis Matos last year after that. What? How many? That legendary weekend?
I think it was like 13 RBIs or something. It was insane.
And then had 25 the entire season. So
yeah, he basically went back to AAA like 3 weeks later.
Which I wonder, honestly, might that affect ADP this season? I don't know. Probably not, but like, people got burned by Luis Matos.
Yeah, 567, I actually thought he'd be a lot higher, because I thought people would still be very excited. Again, 22 years old. Like, why are we giving up on him so soon?
Yep. And he falls into that perfect pocket of, again, going back to that draft and hold primer, the most kind of fruitful group of players that would return value, or at least return where you picked them, is that 100 to 1,000 career plate appearance group. And that is where Luis Matos is, career 409 plate appearance. He's right in the middle of that. So, like, if you're going to pick a tier of player that's not a prospect, that's not like an old veteran, that's the group you want to pull from. So Luis Matos fits right in the middle of that. My pick also fits in that 100 to 1,000 plate appearance group. A little bit older. He's got 900 some odd plate appearances for his career, but that's Alek Thomas of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Again, a career 226 batting average, 20 homers, 17 steals in 916 plate appearances. Like, the major league production has not been there for Alek Thomas, but again, big time prospect. He's been hampered by injuries throughout his career. Still just 24. Sim, along the lines of what you were talking about with Matos, even though Matos is 2 years younger, like, way too young to give up on these guys. And that's why the ADP is so low. And I think, quite honestly, the Diamondbacks don't do anything in the outfield. Luis Matos starts. Like, there, I don't think there is an obstacle. Thomas.
You got Luis Matos on the brain.
Oh, did I say Matos?
Yeah.
Alek Thomas. Yeah, Luis Matos thing is start. That's a.
If he start for Arizona, you thought the Blake Snell thing was bad. Like, yeah. I will lose my... Like, if the Giants start trading prospects instead of filling their roster, we're going to have some big problems.
Yeah, no, I think Alek Thomas, as of now, is a starting outfielder for the Diamondbacks. It may be the bottom of the lineup, whatever, but I think the number of hitters available this late in drafts that have pedigree, that have some major league experience, that have a pretty good path to playing time, it's a pretty short list. So Alek Thomas, I like actually quite a bit. He's one of the ones that I like am more confident in on this list.
Yep, I like it as well. In the outfield, you do have options later compared to these infield positions.
That's what I saw too. Like, and again, so something has to give. Like, if you need to wrap up third base, shortstop early, something's got to give. Like, I'm fine waiting for my 9th, 10th outfielder, 11th outfielder at this point in the draft.
And that's what I was going to clarify. It's your depth outfielders, not your I want to rely on outfielders. So let me clarify that real quick before you get too antsy. Like, we like Alek Thomas. We like Luis Matos. We like them because at some point they're going to get to flourish. There's going to be points where they might not even be on the team. So you need the other players ahead of them to be there.
Yep.
Keep that in mind. All right. Here's my biggest prospect gamble. Just took him in my draft.
I've never heard of this guy, by the way.
Neither did I until I recorded a podcast with Chris Clegg. And Chris Clegg opened my eyes to this player. And I wish I would have paid more attention to him sooner, but I don't have time for prospects. But we're going to talk about a San Diego Padres prospect, Tirso Ornelas. He's 24 years old. At AAA last year, 23 homers, 7 steals, hit .297. In 2023, had 15 homers, 8 steals, hit probably .285 between two levels. He's just making the proper steps each and every year through the rankings, as one would like to see. And Chris waxed poetically on the show about him. That came out actually earlier this week as this show comes out. Came out on a Tuesday of this week. So I'd recommend going and check that out. But what got my attention was between the power, speed, and batting average skills that Ornelas says he has. Again, 24, so he's young, but not like the super young prospects. Right. He's put his time in, one might say. You look at San Diego's roster, and right now Tirso is actually the platoon bat in left field because they don't have Profar back. So obviously they can sign Profar, they can sign another outfielder. But right now they need a third outfield spot. He either platoons or it's his. There's an avenue for him to start the year with the team or an avenue to get called up at some point and have an impact in the outfield with the team. Remember, the Padres were a team that started David Peralta a lot last year. Like, they don't have a ton of outfield depth without signing stuff. So a guy with an ADP right now of 698, 699, if you want to round up, a min of 627. I took him at 647 in my recent draft. I like the upside of Tirso Ornelas, who legit could maybe play 100-plus games in the outfield with some power and speed.
All right. I will take your word for it. I got nothing to add, and I have bolded him and noted him on my draft sheet as you were talking. Because the reasoning all makes sense. It's just I've never... Yeah.
That's why I didn't know anything, but when Clegg opened up the door of the production as he's gone through the playing time option. That's all I care about right now is playing time options. So it's like, okay, we're in.
Book. And that's what we say when we're not prospect guys, but we know... I don't know the answer, but I know someone who can get you the answer. Yes,
I know smart people.
Chris Clegg and Eric Cross, they do great work over at Toolshed. If they're big on somebody, I listen. So yes, exactly. my man Tirso here is bolded on my sheet.
Beautiful. All right, I love this guy. I talked about this guy in Arizona. So what do you got here? Yep.
I obviously was just enlightened and just totally taken aback by your
presentation. Who says I'm only a host? I totally I swayed you. I swayed you. Big fantasy.
That's right. I actually kind of bagged this guy in the forecast. But
and now we're picking him.
Now we're picking him because, again, everyone has a price. Yep. Actually, Corbin Young wrote Hunter Renfro. Corbin Young's not my pick. I would take Corbin in the post 500. Corbin Young wrote Hunter Renfro's baseball forecaster profile. And yeah, it's just a lot of like, he's 33, things are declining and have been in decline for the last two seasons. But in kind of the anti-prospect mold, this is somebody who I am pretty confident is going to play probably every day for the Royals right now, at least to start. And that matters. Hunter Renfro is not like super old, age 33 season. So yeah, he's getting up there, but there's at least the chance that he's young enough to go back to the 2021, 2022 version of Hunter Renfro when he was basically a 30 home run hitter hitting in the mid 250s. Like, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but he's young enough and has shown the ability to do that. And you pile on the, again, expected everyday role that I think Hunter Renfro is going to have in maybe the middle of Kansas City's lineup, maybe fifth or sixth. I think I don't even think that's a gamble. I think this is someone who's going to play, and you can put him in if you need to, and could stick for quite a bit because that's what he has done with the Royals.
Yep, I love it. I talked about him as one of my potential this year's profars at Arizona. A lot of it was because what stood out, and I talked to you before about it, that when I was taking notes that like the fact they actually played him in the outfield as much as they did was a big standout point for me. They didn't platoon him. As long as he was healthy, he was playing. And that stood out in a big way, because usually everyone thinks with him, he's getting old, defense isn't great, he's got a DH or DH problems in Kansas City. No, they play him, like flat out play him. So, and that power will play in most ballparks. So I'm with you 100% on that one. I think there is a lot more juice left on that one if he stays healthy, obviously. All right, we head to the mound for our final three picks, two starting pitchers each and a relief pitcher. And honestly, I'm kind of pumped on these ones, so I hope people don't listen to this show. No, I'm just kidding, because they'll take my picks. But I'm going to start out with another homer pick, but it's one I'm a big fan of, in Landon Roop of the San Francisco Giants. ADP of 524 right now. Eno happened to mention him in Arizona, which made me mad because now more people will like Landon Roop. But this is a guy that in 50 innings at the big league level last year had a 3.58 ERA. Four starts, 23 games total, but he did a lot of starts after the opener stuff. He was putting in his innings, let's put it that way, because you think about 27 total appearances or 23 total appearances, 50 innings. he got his work in. The walks were a bit of an issue, but not ideal in the end. 26 years old this year. That makes me excited. A Giants rotation that needs pitching depth, because like I love Harrison, but we know there's questions about his shoulder. We have Jordan Hicks. There's questions there. Robbie Ray, can he stay? Like, there's questions all over, not to mention Roop's already projected to be the fifth starter. Like, yeah, there's a lot to like there. I think he's going to get you 15 to 25 starts. I don't know where that window closes, but he's definitely going to be there. And at ADP 524, I love the upside there. I think he's only going to get better at this. So big fan of what I saw at the end with Landon Roop, and I think he can grow on that even more. And at 524, I'll take him all day long.
It's nice to get kind of, because you go at player analysis much differently than like Eno does. I think I'm safe to.
That's very safe.
Safe to say.
I don't even take that as a. I'll take them as a compliment.
No, it's not. Almost. It's, yeah, I'll take it honestly. As a it's to for you and Eno to land on the same guy. That means you've got a very good finger on the team context, the playing time outlook, and especially on the Giants, but really any team. You've got that side of it covered. And then if Eno's pumping him at first pitch Arizona, that's because the models, the stuff plus, all that stuff pops as well. So for someone to kind of check both of those boxes like Landon Roop does, that automatically has me interested. So I like that one. And yes, not a slight at you to,
I know.
To say joking. You go at it differently. There are more, we go at it very differently, and yes, you have more success in these things than I do. So Landon Roop, I like it. He's also bolded.
Yes, beautiful. That's good. Who's your first one? Because I do. I know you have a question mark, but I like it. I really do. I think it's why not at this point in the draft.
So I picked this guy last year as well. That's, he was on my team. Yeah. Kate Cavalli.
He's the only repeater in this draft.
He's the only repeater. That's bad. Like, that's bad. If you're picking,
he's still stuck. Back. Real quick, I just want to throw one thing out for Landon Roop. Probably why Eno loves him. 125 stuff plus. 98 location plus,
which scales very, very well. The stuff is there.
So I just want to throw that up. But okay, sorry. Back to
I don't know. This wasn't just me copy pasting last year's chart and forgetting to update my SP pick. But I just think Kate Cavalli is really good. All the same reasons I took him last year. I know no one remembers. Go back to last year's post 500 and listen. I just think Kate Cavalli is really good. And there's obviously, like, the reason that he's down this low again is because he didn't pitch, right? The Tommy John has now cost him two full seasons. I thought last year, like, Cavalli could be an August, September, I don't want to say stud, but contributor at a time in the season when your starting pitching is like all red on your NFBC page or whatever. So, I'm going out on a limb that something's not seriously wrong with Cade Cavalli and his rehab, because it is a little concerning to miss two entire seasons with Tommy John. But I'm going to kind of hedge that he gets another 5 months off here, 6 months off of rest, and kind of get ready to go for the beginning of next season. Starting to get up there, 26 years old, hasn't pitched in 2 years. So, like, there are reasons to doubt Cade Cavalli, but in the small samples that we've seen from him, like, I think he's good. I think he's really good, and did at least pitch what, 8 innings in rehab starts last season. So he has at least pitched. It's not like he's been not heard from for 2 years.
Yeah. There's the question, like you said, 2 years off, what's going on talent wise was one of the up and comers though. So I could definitely see taking the dart this late and seeing what he can, because let's be real, the Nationals.
The Nats. That's the other, I should have mentioned that too. Like, then there will be, if Cade Cavalli's healthy, there will be room on the Nats to make that rotation.
Yeah, there will definitely be room. At worst, he's a long man in the bullpen that turns into a starter late in the year or something, but he will get his innings at the big league level. They don't want to keep him at AAA. So with you there. My second pitcher has an ADP of 632 right now. And that is Yulber Diaz of the Arizona Diamondbacks. I was preaching for him in Fab articles last week, Fab shows. I thought he was very serviceable. He pitched in 7 games, made 4 starts, 3.81 ERA in that small sample. Only a 16% K rate, which was weird because in the minors, a AAA last year is 30%, AA 34%, AA the year before 25%. He's always been a pretty big strikeout guy. Walks have been an issue, but it just wasn't clicking at the big league level. Like, the whip, he would fit my team beautifully, his career whips. Mm-hmm. But it's a guy that has strikeout upside, going to be 24 years old, number 3 prospect in the D-back system, not just pitching prospect. So he got his cup of coffee last year. Things looked good. Still pitched well in the minors, like I mentioned previously. And it's an Arizona Diamondbacks team that, you know, Gallen, he scares us every couple starts with the potential injury. You got Merrill Kelly gets banged up. E-Rod was banged up a lot last year. Ryan Nelson even had his moments. So there's going to be an opportunity for Yelber Diaz at some point this year. I'd imagine he's like the SP6. We talk about that a lot on this show, Ryan. Go get your SP6, 7s, and even 8s because they're going to have an impact at some point. There's a reason why the Dodgers have signed every ace under the moon just so they can try to, you know, have a postseason rotation because they didn't even have one this last year. So Yelber Diaz is a guy I like quite a bit that at some point, he's another guy kind of like Roop. I wouldn't be shocked if Diaz, like the projections have Diaz making 2 starts, but 37 outings out of the bullpen. I think he's more of a closer to a 10 to 15 start guy this year. I think he really gets a window to be productive. And if that takes place at his ADP, big fan of Yelber Diaz.
I like it. Two things just to add about Yelber Diaz. I pulled him up on our minor league leaderboards, available as part of the Patreon, by the way. The strikeout and walk numbers, both supported by the swinging strike and the ball rate. So 16% swinging strike across both levels for Yelber Diaz. Like, I think he is a legitimate 30% K rate guy in the minors. Let's see how that translates over. But the control issues, like you said, I don't know if those are going away. Like, he's going to have to make an adjustment because the ball rate was 37, 38%. League average is like 35, 36. So he needs to throw some strikes, but I agree. The strikeout ceiling is there, and he's shown enough in the minors. Yelber Diaz has, like, it's time to take a step. Once you've already had 50 innings at AAA, maybe get a little bit more AAA time, but after that, you're ready to roll.
Pretty much. All right, I'm curious to see what you have to say about our next one. I'm guessing he's on the leaderboard as well for you to look at.
Yes, popped on the minor league.
Beautiful.
Leaderboard. Though he is going to be, I think, pretty popular. That's Brandon Sproat for the Mets. You want to talk about numbers that pop on the minor league leaderboard. It's a 33% strikeout rate in AA last year, the 19th overall prospect for Fangraphs last season. He's 23. He has made it to AAA. Did not pitch well in AAA, but he has at least thrown 28 innings there. Ton of whiffs, ton of strikes thrown. Brandon Sproat is just outside the top 500. I think he's like a 505, 506 ADP. So he's somewhat popular compared to the other names that we have. But I get Christian Scott vibes from last season. Again, remember when everyone was so thrilled about Christian Scott? He was not a post 500 pick, but I get those kind of vibes from Brandon Sproat. And I think the Christian Scott failure of last year and subsequent injury on the Mets, I think that's having an effect on Brandon Sproat's price, and maybe deservedly so. Like, we can't trust the Mets, LOL Mets, he's going to get hurt, whatever. But I think the market's kind of burned by what we didn't get from Christian Scott last year. And that is weighing down Brandon Sproat's price. I think Brandon Sproat is up sometime in the first half of 2025. And at least if these minor league skills carry over, I think he could be damn effective.
I'm not going to give away all my secrets from my shows with Eric and Chris, but Chris, I wrote next to Brandon Sproat's name, very, very, very interesting starting pitcher. So
three variants.
Yeah, I looked at my notes while you were talking because like you guys, you take notes while you listen to them. While I'm interviewing them, I take notes on every player they discuss. And he's on the same page with you. Just when can they get him the reps at the big league level? Talent's there. Talent's definitely there. So he's a name that if the longer the offseason goes without the Mets signing someone, which they will, let's be real, they're going to start a starter. But to what extent the starter they sign is, Sproat's ADP is going to start having some fun.
Yeah. So. And I mean, dude, the Mets could sign 2 starting pitchers and there's still an avenue for Brandon. I mean, right now their rotation, it's like Senga, Peterson, Blackburn, Tyler McGill, Jose Budo, like
spinning image of health.
Yeah. So like, I am not worried about I don't think Brandon Sproat cracks opening day roster with the team, but he doesn't need to this late in the draft to be productive. So
I'm 100% on board with you on that one. All right. Relief pitcher to wrap up our draft here. This is a guy that I'm going to try to get in every draft I have. So I just screwed myself by saying that, but Hunter Biggie, the Harvard graduate, Los Gatos down the road from me, high school alum, Hunter Bradford Biggie.
There you go. I was going to say, you forgot his middle name.
I had to say the Harvard part first to make the Hunter Bradford stand out more. Hunter Bradford Biggie. Yes. Looked up how to pronounce his name and got a
it's
whole.
It's like one of these names does not fit the other two names. Hunter Bradford and then just
Biggie. The Biggie makes sense in Los Gatos if you've been there. The Bradford makes sense in Harvard. So you put it together, relief pitcher, get future closer in baseball is what I'm thinking here. Hunter Biggie has a 671 ADP right now. Big fan of that. Last year, he got traded to Tampa Bay, finished the season, 19 appearances. He got traded from Chicago, 19 appearances at the big league level, only 17 innings, but 2.6 ERA in that short sample with a 33% K rate and 7% walk rate, which stands out tremendously. At AAA for the Cubs, a 42% K rate. At AAA for the Rays, a 55% K rate. He's been an elite strikeout guy. He's going to be 27 years old this year, throws gas. Like, this is a big boy stuff here. This is a guy that he got some saves throughout the minors at different stops. When he was traded, everyone's like, oh, great, the Rays got another guy, future closer. We like Peter Fairbanks. Never going to say we don't, but we know he's got an IL stint. He's good for 20 to 25 saves. Someone's going to get reps behind him. Yes, Yusefta's still there. There's other options. Biggie's kind of down the totem pole. Heck, Roster Resource doesn't even have Biggie playing at the big league level right now, which is kind of crazy to me, to be real. This guy is a future closer. It could happen as soon as this year. At worst, he's going to get plenty of reps to get you a ton of strikeouts and some other good stuff. So Hunter Bradford Biggie will be my choice, ADP 670.
So what you're saying is, Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your skills just hypnotize me. I like it. Good pick.
That's outstanding. That brings a tear to my eye that you came up with something like that. That's good.
Yeah. I wasn't going to go in full sing for it, but we'll just go with that.
I appreciate it. Who's your final?
Hunter Bradford Biggie. That is awesome. I'm coming back from that one. Yep. I am going Jesus Tinoco. I cheated a little bit. This is a 488 ADP, so don't sue us for false advertisement here. But Jesus Tinoco is basically going to top 500. He's right there. Could very well be the Miami Marlins closer, like at the start of next season. 40 innings last season across three teams. A little bit of a journeyman, but really got things together with Miami down the stretch in the second half last year, to the point where I think he got three second half saves. Jesus Tinoco did. And really, in terms of competition in that bullpen, all it is the good doctor. It's Dr. Foucher, who had Calvin Fauché, I should properly name him, who had some shoulder issues down the stretch. Like, there's a very good chance Fauché is not healthy or effective to start 2025 for the Marlins. And do the Marlins actually sign a closer this offseason? Who knows? If those things happen, I think Jesus Tinoco could step in and be a closer right away. And once you have the job, all it takes is a pretty decent stretch of a performance, and you've got somewhat of a leash. And if Jesus Tinoco kind of does what he did in the second half with Miami, I think that's all he needs to get done. So I think a pretty decent shot at saves, which is kind of rare going outside the top 500.
Yep, don't mind that at all. Miami is always someone to keep an eye on. And I want to say Clegg mentioned Tinoco. Let me see what I put down on that one. No, he did not. But I know I've heard that name somewhere else. So I get it. I get it for sure. All right, fun draft. Good stuff there. We sent the bat signal to the Discord about some potential post-500s people would like us to talk about. We're not going to hit on them all. We'll try. Let me put it this way. Keep the answers to a couple sentences, and we can hit on most of these. So Martin Sokolsky asked about Kyle Harrison, who we actually talked about on a previous episode, so you're good. Grant Holmes talked about him, but he also is not a post-500. As we found out, that ADP is climbing.
He's like top 400 now, given the recent news. So
yep. Even since our Gladiator draft, I said, this is ridiculous. Yeah, he's skyrocketed since then, not because of me, I'm saying, but just in general. But Mitch Garver. This is a fun one because Mitch Garver is just hanging out. Just going to throw it out there. He's in draft rooms and the catcher. If you want four catchers, you better get aggressive. That's all I'm going to say. Three catchers, you can survive. If you want a fourth catcher, don't wait is the best way I'll say it. Garver's ADP, it's up to 411 right now. So he doesn't really count either, but I'm just staying away from Mitch Garver is my answer.
I am too. I think there's a decent chance Mitch Garver's cooked. Like Higgy Kyle Higashioka is going right next to Mitch Garver, I would take a shot at Higashioka or the two prospect catchers that we mentioned at the top of this show. I think at 35 years old, Mitch Garver could be donezo.
Yep, with you on that one. Our buddy Ben Tidd says Ryan Feltner, ADP 697. I think he's more just joking. It's actually moved up to 673 in the month of November.
It's moved so up it's on to the
climb. It's on the climb, folks. Still pitching in Colorado. It must have been because they got rid of Quantrill, so he locked in a rotation spot.
Hey, man, right. I would actually, in all seriousness, I don't know if Tidd is, I know Tidd is joking and trying to get under my skin here, but I would take a shot at Feltner 700. If you stream him three or four times on the road next season and he does well, that alone is worth a 700 ADP.
Yep, I'm with you. The DCs, you play matchups and you just want guys that are healthy to play matchups with. So they actually check out a lot better at that ADP. Ben Bingham. He was Mr. 50, I believe. That was a fun one. We talked about Sajay already. He asked for Hai Sung Kim, the guy that's the from the KBO is going to get posted here pretty soon after Thanksgiving to potentially get signed. So we don't have a whole lot of on him, but he's ADP 576. He's linked to Seattle, Ryan. I'd be interested at that ADP because if he's going to sign, he's probably going to start. Just know there's, you know, transition periods usually for players coming over from the KBO.
Yep.
Caleb Durbin, that's been talked about a ton. We actually talked about him on our news
summer
show
episode. Yeah, news episode. Yeah.
Durbin, he's up to point. 483 now. He's on the climb. He's gone as high as 273 in November. That's insane, honestly.
I mean, the longer the Yankees don't do anything with their infield, something could happen there. And Durbin put up the numbers as a minor leaguer, so I get it. It's but once you start going up in the early 400s, I'm skeptical.
Will Wagner, the Toronto Blue Jays, ADP 550. Ben was wondering about him. He's a guy that when you look at the Jays on roster resource, it's a smorgasbord of what are they doing right now. Like, he's technically in line to play second, could platoon with Davis Schneider. I guess at that ADP, there's viability there, but do you have any interest in a Will Wagner?
Not really. Honestly, this is like Luis Arraez without the batting average, which is not good. There's just no home run stolen base juice for Will Wagner. And he's 26. Like, he's, I don't know. I'm not in on Will Wagner. I think even the batting average, we're projecting like 260. If you're hitting 260 and not stealing bags or hitting homers, what are you doing?
Yep, makes it tricky. Kind of dead numbers, even in a DC. Like, I get it if you want a 4 second baseman and hope he finds it, but I'm not like targeting him if that's what I'm trying to get to. Okay. Sean Charge got a list here. We'll get to real quick. Albert Suarez, ADP of 556. I took him just because he'll get starts for Baltimore. Any thoughts there?
That's your guy, so I'll defer to you.
Jose Buto, ADP 532. Bullpen starter. He's projected to start for the Mets, but as you mentioned, a lot of moving parts with the Mets. Do you like Buto?
In spurts, like I thought Buto was decent for a couple of stretches last season. I like him more than, did you say Chris Paddock? Because that was the other name that Sean Chard mentioned. Yeah. So I take him over Chris Paddock, but that's faint praise.
Yeah, Chris Paddock's got a 583 ADP. I don't even know how healthy he is. So I've been avoiding Chris Paddock right now.
Yeah, there's the skills aren't there and the health isn't there. And what else is left?
Yeah. We already talked about Ahmed Rosario. Ryan drafted him. Tyro Estrada, ADP of 517, is homeless at the moment. I get it if you want to take a deep, deep dart, but doesn't even have a team. You got Aroldis Martinez going right next to him, who is going to start at second. He might start somewhere in the infield for the Jays. So it's tough with Estrada.
It is interesting that Estrada was available in this pool for us and neither of us pulled the trigger on. I mean, he does not have a team, so he has to get signed, probably to a minor league deal and then work his way up. But
it will be a minor league deal too.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Flip side, you're one year removed from a guy who's pretty legitimate. So
yeah, I can see it. Yeah, I get it. If you want, if he's like your fourth second baseman or something, I don't hate it.
Yeah, let's put it that way. Agreed.
And then Chris Bryant,
I was waiting for this one.
I just want to throw it out there. ADP of 607. He's gone as low as 747. How the mighty have fallen. Util only because he never played last year. Just wanted to tell you guys all know my thoughts on.
Is that right?
He's util only on NFBC because he did not play enough games in the outfield.
Oh, okay. I thought you said because he didn't play.
No, he didn't play enough games, is my point. Gotcha. Okay. That's how little Chris Bryant played.
Yeah, actually, he kind of got screwed with positions because he played 10 games at first, 12 in outfield, but 15 at DH. So no,
he got screwed. He played 37 games. Like, get out.
Who got screwed is the fans of the Rockies. Yeah. Really is.
The bucket
They're
of
the
balls.
Ones who got screwed.
The bucket of balls that he took the space of in the locker room.
Oh my God. I got nothing. Like, the guy is so bad.
I just wanted to bring it up for fun.
Like, I would take, I don't even think the ADP, like, this has to be the biggest contract for anyone going outside the top 600. That's all I got.
I think that's very fair. I think that's very fair. If you have your leaderboard handy, I have a minor leaguer I'm curious about. Billy Cook of the Pittsburgh Pirates. He has an ADP of 595, played 16 games with the Buccos, 3 homers, a steal, a 224 average, but Triple-A last year, 5 homers, 9 steals, 278, was a power source in the Baltimore system. Anything stand out to you on the leaderboard?
Yeah, on the leaderboard, 125 WRC plus at Triple-A last year. So a little old for the level 25, but I think is ready. Yeah, those 16 homers, 21 steals, decent stat cast to back it up, and he was successful on the base pass. I like Billy Cook. And yeah,
that's a good call.
I mean, is there much of a blockade in Pittsburgh just in general?
No, there really shouldn't be. I'll pull him up to really give a definition. But like, they got rid of De La Cruz and Hunter Joe. Right now you got Brian Reynolds, that's a log jam. O'Neill Cruz in center and Joshua Palacio. So they got Billy Cook penciled in at first base right now.
The roster resource does have Billy Cook starting at first for the Pirates. I'm going to go ahead and make a note on my draft sheet for Billy Cook. The numbers look pretty strong in AAA, and that's a good pull.
TCAT coming up with that. TCAT, he brings a lot of strong, our whole Discord strong, but TCAT, you can tell he's a veteran of the game. He was in our Gladiator, and he brings some fun discussion points and helps out answer a lot of questions when we're not around. So TCAT, he brings it. He asked about Will Wagner. We talked about him. Max Schumann, he's going to play a lot for the A's, which, grain of salt, take that with what you wish. 7 homers, 14 steals last year in 133 games at .220. In the minor leagues, we saw a better average, 20-steal guy. Well, maybe, I don't know if he will, because Wilson should be there at shortstop.
I think even if Max Schumann plays, it's,
you don't like it.
There's no juice there. I had his forecaster box and it was really bad. It was really bad.
All right. Then that works a lot easier. Matt Waldron, ADP of 590 for the Padres, the knuckleballer. We saw some good, we saw some bad. I guess if you're really desperate, but I'm probably out on Waldron this year.
Yeah, I mean, just the way he finished was rough. That said, expected ERA was, yeah, well, the early run was good. The skills hardly budge from first to second half for Waldron if you factor in what he did in the minors. So, like, yes, he got sent down, but the K minus walk only dropped a point from first to second half. The expected ERA for that we have in the forecaster for Matt Waldron was basically the same in two halves, low fours, despite the surface ERA going from 356 in the first half to 650 in the second half. So I could see taking a stab at Matt Waldron. I don't know how
projected for starter right now.
Is so, he?
Yeah. Which makes it a little more enticing in a DC at a 590 ADP. If he sticks in the rotation, that's valuable.
That's not a bad pick. Yeah, that's not a bad pick.
Yeah, that's the beauty of these DCs. You got to like look at some of the nastiness. Can you polish some things up real quick to justify it? And that's where you get with Waldron. You're going to play matchups anyways there. He's not a weekly starter for you. So
yeah,
that's a plus. Joey Estes, he asked about, I liked the gambles on the back end of the A's rotation. I hate the ballpark. I get it. But I think the ADPs factor that in. Joey Estes is 676 ADP. He's penciled in as the SP2 right now, which, again, grain of salt, it's Oakland. They said they're going to spend money, so we'll see. We saw an up-and-down year from Estes, but all in all, Ryan, I think, I don't know. Again, I'll say up-and-down to be nice, but not a lot of strikeouts. That's the only concern for me.
Not a lot of Ks and a lot of fly balls. 55% fly ball rate last year for Joey Estes, 60% the year before. So a ton of fly balls in that summer Sacramento heat that you're very familiar with. I don't like Joey Estes in the summertime at home. That said,
matchups, baby.
Matchups on the road early in the season when some of these parks are cold and Presumably, you have a healthy starting rotation on your fantasy team, so you may not have room for Joey Estes. But I could see streaming Joey Estes in certain spots and certain ballparks and going there. But I am getting the hell away from him at home in the summertime.
Yep, 6.76 ERA or ADP.
ADP. Well, that might be his ERA too.
Yeah, very, very possible. And the last one TCAT has here is Colin Ray, ADP of 550, looking for a job. This is a guy we picked on all the time last year. He somehow still got it done. I'm just going to stay away from Colin Ray.
Same.
And then a couple here from GP Churchill. We talked about the Zenzo. We've talked about York plenty. He should get a starting spot with the Pirates, so I don't hate that. Relvis Martinez, love that at his ADP.
Yep.
Bliss was talked about in the Discord. If they sign Kim, won't be the second baseman. We haven't talked about Kyle Stowers much. What are your thoughts on Kyle Stowers, who was part of the big Trevor Rogers deal after all? ADP's 491, so not post 500, but any interest in a guy like Kyle Stowers?
Yeah, part of that whole deal with the Trevor Rogers trade was like, oh, Connor Norby and Kyle Stowers aren't as good as like a lot of as we think they are in terms of like prospect pedigree. I think that personally, I think that that's half right. I think Connor Norby could be pretty legit. I don't like Stowers. I think it's getting late early for Kyle Stowers. We still think of him as a prospect. He's gonna be 27 this year and hasn't really done anything. So I don't think the ceiling is all that high for Kyle Stowers. So I don't think I'm taking him. I don't know what his ADP is. I'm sure it's
491.
Okay. Yeah. I like other outfielders a lot more later than Kyle Stowers at 491.
I'm with you. Nate Pearson at 570. I like as a potential late round guy that might get some saves for the Cubs. I think he's a fun one. I don't know if you have any thoughts on Nate Pearson.
Not much to add there. I mean, the pedigree is there. I put Corbin put an up 20 saves on Nate Pearson. Just because, like, this is a guy who had, you know, used to be a top prospect with Toronto. Yep. Injuries just derailed him and has thrown 67, 66 innings each of the last two seasons, kind of carving out a niche in the bullpen. And like you said, with Chicago, like, if they don't make a move, Nate Pearson is at least in that ninth inning mix.
He asked about Tony Santian of the Reds, ADP 620. He might find his way into the rotation at some point, but I'm probably going to stay away from that one.
Yeah, same.
Hunter Biggie talked about Hunter Bradford Biggie talked about him. Any love for Mike Soroka or Slade Ciccone?
Oh, man. No.
Yeah.
No, that hurts.
Ciccone, I can see a little for ADP of 704, like one of your last pitchers. He'll get a couple starts. Soroka, I'm just not going to go back on that train. It's ADP 702, so both going very late.
Do you remember? I mean, it has been 5 years since Mike Soroka's breakout season. Five years, 2019.
And then multiple Achilles injuries along the way.
Yep, it sucks because he was promising as hell, but yeah.
And then the last name I have here from Adam W., Jerer Encarnacion of the San Francisco Giants, and I like this one a lot, actually. ADP of 578. Jerer was formerly of the Miami Marlins system, played well there, but then ended up getting non-tendered, I believe, and sent to the Mexican League. Giants signed him from there at Triple A last year, 10 homers and a 352 batting average over 33 games. Gets called up for 35 games, 5 homers, 1 steal, 248. But what I love about this man, 15% barrel rate, 59% hard hit rate. He had a 282 XBA, 516 X slug, 355 X woba. Plate discipline, not the greatest. I will fully back that out the gate, near 29% K rate. Power undeniable. I saw him hit shots oppo in San Francisco that were great. He needs to be the DH for the Giants, needs to play DH for the Giants. I hope they realize that. And at his ADP of 578, I would take that power chance all day long.
All right. I'm not going to go against you too much on that one. I do agree. And yeah, you did mention the plate discipline. It has been bad. It improved quite a bit in 2024. So that is important. These guys can change. But Jerer Encarnacion, very, very much a free swinger, we will say. But yeah, everything you said is valid and solid. So I like it.
Yeah, I'd be willing to take that chance for sure. And on that note, we're done, Ryan. Another episode in the books. Final thoughts as listeners head into the weekend.
Yeah, good. No, good episode. I selfishly just bolded a bunch of all these guys we talked about, and then some that the Discord folks brought up to us as well. So I feel like I'm more prepped in the draft that I'm currently in as we get to these late 40 rounds. Good luck with these dart throws. Again, like, this is something that isn't like the most exciting thing to talk about, because it's not, you know, first round picks, second round picks, that sort of thing. But these are the names. If you hit on two or three of these guys, it will make your draft and whole teams a lot better. So hopefully some of these names helped you out. Do your own research on them, see what you like about them. But I think we uncovered some decent potential gems. If we do as good as we did last year, I think I'll take it.
I'll take it all day long. If that's the way things turn out, I'm with you on that. But until next time, we'll be back with you guys live for the next episode, I believe. Well, maybe not, actually. Maybe not. Let me clarify that. Maybe not. Now I thought about it. That's up for debate at the moment. But we'll have we got some HQ episodes coming your way. Some forecast episodes coming out. And it depends on how we can schedule those out. But the goal is to get some live ones, but we will see how that one plays up. We got some forecaster episodes coming up, and then not too far away from previews. So get ready, folks. Buckle up. It's coming. Hopefully you guys are enjoying draft season. Hopefully the shows are helping you out. And again, if you have any questions, hit up Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm on Twitter at BDintric. Until next time, this is Bubba and the Bloom, episode 193. Catch you all later.